Welcome to a special edition of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. My name is David Bernstein. I'm the host and the producer of the Fredcast, produced each week and available at www.thefredcast.com. Today I'll be bringing you a special episode of our show featuring the keynote address from the annual membership meeting of the League of American Bicyclists that took place as part of the National Bike Summit in Washington, D.C. This speech, which occurred on March 14th, 2007, was given by Trek's president, John Burke, and it's all about cycling advocacy and how bike manufacturers really can make a difference. The speech that John Burke gave at the National Bike Summit generated quite a buzz, and it was a prelude to another speech which he gave along the same lines with the same topic at this year's annual Taipei International Cycle Show. The speech and the PowerPoint presentation that went along with it have caused people to start calling John Burke the Al Gore of the bicycle industry. Speaking of the PowerPoint presentation, John Burke has been gracious enough to allow me to post it on the website at www.thefredcast.com so that while you're listening to the podcast, while you're listening to the speech, you can follow along with John's PowerPoint. And I've posted both in PowerPoint format as well as in PDF format for those of you who may not have PowerPoint on your computers. Now, the first voice you're going to hear is Amanda Eichstätt. She is the president of the board of directors of the League of American Bicyclists. And following John Burke's speech, you'll hear from the executive director of the League of American Bicyclists, Andy Clark. I hope you enjoy this edition of the Fredcast. If you're new to the show, please check us out each week at www.thefredcast.com. And of course, we're also available on iTunes and wherever podcasts are sold. Ladies and gentlemen, Amanda Eichstätt, John Burke, and Andy Clark.
But without further ado, I would like to introduce our keynote speaker for our meeting. We're honored to have the president and CEO of Trek Bicycle Corporation here from Waterloo, Wisconsin. I've known John Burke for 11 years, back when I was a Trek dealer in Palo Alto. I went to Trek World in Minnesota right around the time that John was taking the helm of the company and got to meet him there and have watched him, you know, really take that company and organization to new levels, and he himself getting so involved with advocacy as an industry leader. Being the president of the Bikes Belong board and being on the President's Council of Physical Fitness and just having a far-reaching and just reaching out into so many aspects of health and fitness and the bicycle industry and advocacy. He's just a really great guy, and he's a good pal, and I want to introduce to you John Burke. Thank you.
All right. Bravo. Okay, that works. All right, well, thanks for having me here, and am I the last thing of the night?
Yes, you are.
Okay, so you can be happy about that. And I kind of feel like, who's here in the morning who heard the guy from the transportation? The really fast guy? I'm going to do my imitation of him because I think a lot of people are there. When I was growing up, my mom was, I thought she was kind of a nut. And she was big into helping people. And she did Meals on Wheels, and I'd drive with her everywhere, and we'd hand out meals to people. And she had the mental health hotline every Tuesday night. And I always used to kind of look forward to Tuesday nights because it was just kind of a wild night at the house. And she'd sit by the phone and she'd answer this phone and she'd help these people out. And at that time, I thought she was kind of crazy. And one of the biggest things she did was this is 35 years ago, she was big into recycling. So we'd keep all of our papers and we'd keep all of our cans. And then on Saturdays, my mother would drive 25 miles and burn up 300 gallons of gasoline to drop off the papers. But one thing she really kind of instilled on the kids in that family was if you got a lot, you ought to help other people out. And one of the things that we're lucky enough to have at Trek is we've got a really nice business, and the business does pretty well, and so we try and help people out. And so this goes back to, I think it was 1997, and it was the first time that we were going to authorize this iced tea deal. And I had a bunch of advocates calling up, and they were trying to raise money to put together this lobbying effort. And they'd call up, and they were asking for, I think, $15,000. And well, no, we don't help those people out. And so the answer was, no, we're not going to do that. And a lot of people kept calling. And finally, I started thinking, well, geez, I ride on a bike path. And I started listening to the pitch a little bit more. And I thought, you know what? Instead of helping them out with $15,000, we ought to really help them out a lot. And so we gave $100,000. I think it was something like that. And we'd only give it if the rest of the industry came in and they gave money too. And the rest of the industry did step up, and together we kind of funded that, and that was the first time we really got the industry involved, and we raised a lot of money so that we could get a real lobbying effort so we could get bikes part of the national transportation deal. And I saw the power of that, and I was like, wow, that kind of worked. And so from that point forward, we started to get a little bit more involved in advocacy to try and give back. One of the things I see is my responsibility in the industry is to try to sell other people on this. And so I'm actually going to Taiwan, and the Taiwan bike shows in a couple weeks, and I'm speaking there, and I put together a little presentation here to kind of give people in the industry what I think the challenges are in the industry. So I thought I'd give you a little preview of that, fast forward in the transportation guy's style. And I'm just going to talk to you about what I think the biggest challenges and the biggest opportunity is for the bicycle industry, and in turn, just kind of for cyclists. If you take a look at the bicycle industry, and it's grown tremendously over the last 25 years, and I think there's two major reasons for it. One is the mountain bike boom in the early to mid-80s that went all the way through the 90s. And the second thing is the Lance Armstrong phenomenon. Is Lance got a lot of people involved in road bike riding. When Lance got people involved in road bike riding, people figured out that, wow, this is a pretty cool sport. And all of a sudden, those people started to sell their friends, and we really saw a boom in road bike riding. We got a lot more cyclists today because of those two specific things that have happened. So I take a look, and if I was an outsider and I was looking at the industry, I'd say, okay, what's the industry's plan to grow this business and to grow the sport of cycling over the next 20 years? It has a lot to do with product. People in the industry are pretty good at developing cool new products. It's basically the same as the last 20 years. Let's develop more cool products. Worked pretty well. And then what are we going to do on the marketing front? Well, there's a lot of marketing going on these days, and there's a lot of ads, and there's other ways that people market, and basically, it's the same as the last 20 years. All right, we're going to develop more great products, and we're going to do a lot of marketing, and that's good because there's been a lot of positive things that have happened with that. And then I kind of set back, and there's a lot of things going on in the world. We all watch CNN and other things, and there's some really interesting global trends. And the first one is the world's getting fat. Everybody talks about the world getting fat, but it's the world's really getting fat. And how fat is the world getting? Well, if you take a look from 1960 to 2002, today the average kid is 11 pounds heavier than he was in 1960. If you take a look at the average man is 24 pounds heavier today than he was in 1960, which is a pretty amazing statistic. And the average woman, 24 pounds heavier. All right? Now, I deal with the President's Council, and that's housed over at Health and Human Services, and I've had the opportunity to talk to a lot of people about health and what's going on. And this is an epidemic. And people can talk about Medicare and Medicaid, and they can talk about how the government's going to take care of this problem. And the answer is they're not. They can't. Nobody can afford it. When you take a look at type 2 diabetes amongst kids, when you take a look at this whole tidal wave that's coming, the only solution to it is going to be prevention. That's the only solution. You're not going to be able to keep feeding people drugs and staple their stomachs and, you know, all these kind of things. You're going to have to go to prevention. And that's one trend that's going on. One thing, and I don't know how many people have seen this, but I'll fast forward. Here's a 1985. This is a slide, and it shows the amount of people who are obese. And that's what it was in 1985, 1988. 1990, 92, 94, 96, 97. Now you got a lot of red states, 20% of the people. 1999, look at that. 2000. 2001, 2002, and you get the message here. That's what our country looks like today. It's an amazing situation. The other thing that's happening here is global congestion, and anybody who lives in a city sees it. But in 2003, traffic congestion delayed people around the world for 7 billion hours and cost 5 billion gallons of gasoline. That's in 2003. And I'd be willing to bet that today in 2007, the problem has gotten worse. It's not better. Urbanization, this is a very interesting segment here, is for the first time in human history, more people are living in the cities than in rural areas. In 1950, the world had just two cities that were in excess of 10 million people. Today, it's 20. There's over 200 cities in China that are over a million people. The United Nations estimates that every day 180,000 people are moving into the cities, and by 2050, two-thirds of the population will be in America's cities. Everybody knows what's going on with the environment. You can see from the pictures, motor vehicle emissions represent 31% of carbon dioxide, 81% of carbon monoxide, and 49% of nitrogen oxides released in the United States. 60% of pollution created by car emissions happens in the first few minutes of operation. One of the most staggering statistics I see, and it's so applicable to everybody in this room, is 50% of car trips are less than 2 miles. And you take a look at that bottom statistic. So I take a look at what the bicycle industry has done. We spent a lot of money developing great products. We spent a lot of money marketing those products. And I take a look at the trends and I say, what kind of product do we need to develop in order to address these trends? It's the bicycle. That's what it is. It's just the bicycle. It's something that we already have. It's an amazing thing when you take a look at what the bicycle does. And it's how the bicycle solves these problems, and I've talked about a number of them already, but people who cycle enjoy the same fitness as people who are 10 years younger. Cycling increases calorie consumption and the metabolic rate, and regular cycling improves just about everything. We've got an incredible product. If you take a look at traffic congestion, 7 to 12 bicycles can be parked in an automobile slot. Commuters waste 2.3 billion gallons of fuel annually just by sitting in traffic jams with bicycles at zero. And the average journey of 4 miles in central London takes 40 minutes by car versus 22 minutes by bike. Talk about all these things here, and I'm doing my Department of Transportation quick thing, but it's not something people here don't know, but the bicycle is a great thing. So to me, one of the things I always championed when I was the president of Bikes Belong is a program called Bicycle Friendly Communities. I really love processes, and it's one thing to talk about. Let's increase places for people to ride, but the league has come up with a phenomenal product. It's called Bicycle Friendly Communities. And it's so simple. And how many people heard the mayor of Louisville today? Was that awesome? Okay. You know, and I asked a few people, I said, do you know where the turning point was for the mayor in Louisville? If you go back and think about what he said, it was on his ride from Denver to Vail, where he saw all those bike routes in Colorado, he saw all those people on bike lanes. And if anybody's ever read the book, The Tipping Point, all of a sudden you see these small things and they start getting bigger, and then all of a sudden at some point there's a tipping point. And one of the things, I think Jerry stood up and he said, you know, we were talking about the league's financial difficulties, and it was a very good question somebody brought up. But the league was there at the forefront, and the league brought us the National Bike Summit. The Bike Summit has done more for cycling than just about anything. And when you take a look at the tipping point here is, if we can win in Louisville, we can win just about anywhere. Now, we've spent a lot of time, advocates here, we've spent a lot of time working with people to try and convince them that bicycling is important. And sometimes you're just pulling teeth. But there gets to be a point in time where there's a tipping point, and today it was a tipping point for me listening to the guy from Louisville. Because you know how Memphis is going to get it? Somebody from Memphis is going to go to Louisville, and they're going to see what's going on in Louisville, and they're going to say, you know what? We got to do what they're doing in Louisville. You know what? The mayor of Madison, Trek, just gave $25,000 to the mayor of Madison so he can do a study. And the reason he wants to do a study is because he saw something in regards to Boulder, and he wants Madison to be better than Boulder. Okay? I didn't have to go sell him. He called me. He goes, I want to put together a task force. I want Madison to be the most bicycle-friendly city in America. All the work that people have done here, and there's a lot more work to do, there's a tipping point. And we saw that today with Louisville. We're going to see a lot more of that. So to me, the biggest opportunity here is to create a bicycle-friendly world. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. In the Netherlands, people know it's 25% of trips are by bicycle. How many people here have been to Boulder? I was lucky enough to be there for a Bikes Belong board meeting, and we did a little bike ride around the city. It's amazing where that city has gone and where it's going. If you take a look at London and the congestion charge, we're a global company. We do a lot of business in London. We do a lot more today because of the congestion charge. That program is working. You heard today a U.S. government official say that they had, 25 cities already applied to do the same thing. What kind of an impact is that going to have in America? It's amazing what's going to happen here. And then, we got Portland, Oregon, and we have Congressman Blumenauer, who's a piece of work. All right? And how lucky are we to have people like that? You know, to have Congressman Blumenauer and Congressman Oberstar, it's amazing. This is an interesting thing. And so if you get all excited, and I was all excited today about all the progress we're making, and for those people who are here today, if you were here at the Bike Summit 8 years ago, and you knew what a sorry sight that was, and then you see where this group is today, it's amazing what's been accomplished. But if you take a look at the map here, and you see where this country is, and in the United States, it's not 1%. I think that was the lowest number I could work with. It's one half of 1%. That's where we are. So we've done a lot. We've got a long way to go. Here's trips taken by bicycle. That's Boulder, or that's somebody, 25%. Boulder's at 21%. Minneapolis at 2.63. It's a very, very low number. There's a lot of work to be done. That's why the people who are involved in this effort, who are involved in the league, this is serious work. This is a great way to do something in the community. It's a great way to leave a legacy. I asked a question. I was doing a little math on my whiteboard. And I said, what if the world's bike usage in the United States, this is for the United States, was like the Netherlands or Boulder? If we could go from, and then I said, I'm being too optimistic. I said, I'll ratchet it back, and I'll say, instead of getting up to 25%, let's say we took the United States from one half of 1% up to 5%. What would that mean? It'd mean that you take the bicycle business from a $6.2 billion industry to a $31 billion business. You would basically have five times as many cyclists. And if there are five times as many cyclists, you get to that mass movement, and a lot of things start to happen. Things that we're seeing happen right now, they just happen at an accelerated rate. So I take a look, and I say, let's take a look at 1995 and today. In 1995, the amount of industry money that really went into advocacy was about zero. Today, it's $2 million. That's progress. The amount of money the government spent in 1995 on bicycle and walking facilities was basically $20 million. Today, it's $800 million. A lot of that happened because of the league, because of the Bike Summit, because bikes belong, and because of people in this room. Safe routes to school, zero. I don't think Deb Hubsmith is here, but I mean, the amount of energy that that person has, the vision she had with safe routes to schools, and the help from Congressman Oberstar to push it over the top, we're at a point now as a group here where the government's going to spend $100 million a year on safe routes to schools for the next 5 years. That's amazing. I was in her session today, and you know what she? Who was in her session today? And what did she say she's looking for in the next one? Five times. Five times. Are you betting against her? No, I wouldn't bet against her. All right, that's amazing. Bicycle-friendly community is one of my favorite programs here. 1995, zero today. 58 communities are involved in that project. There's the guy in Louisville. He was all excited about the bronze. He couldn't quite get to the silver, but he got to the gold there. That's what's on his mind. He has something to shoot for. He has a goal. What an awesome process and something that we can take to our communities. Okay, well, and this is a note to will be to industry leaders when I get together with them in a couple of weeks as to what I think people ought to do. And one is to get involved with government leaders. I was at an event about an hour ago, and there are four United States senators who showed up. People are interested. You'll see this when you go lobby on the Hill tomorrow. I mean, people in government, they're seeing the health crisis, they're seeing congestion, they're seeing the environment. All those things point to a simple solution, the bicycle. Can the bicycle solve everything? No, but it's a very cost-effective solution. We need to get more involved with the government. The government is the people. It's our government. We've got a great solution here. We need to spend more time with elected officials, and it can be done. Get involved with advocates. And that's where a lot of people hear. And we're talking about people like Bikes Belong. We're talking about people like the League. It's how can the industry and how can people in this room get more involved with some of the great organizations that already exist. This is an interesting slide, and I put it together, and I'm ripping on myself here. And I said to myself, I said, how much money is Trek spending on marketing today? And Trek spends, in the U.S. market, Trek spends somewhere around $14 or $15 million on marketing. And I say, okay, how much money do we spend on product development? And I don't know, that number was $6 or $7 million. And if you wanted to add all the stuff up, it might get up to $10 million. And then people point at Trek for doing a lot of stuff for advocacy, and we do. We do a lot of stuff. But we do $500,000 worth. And people point at Trek, and we do a lot that you hear about, we do a lot that you don't hear about, because we think it's the right thing to do. But as I put this thing together, I really kind of asked myself, should we be spending $500,000 a year on advocacy, or should we be spending $2.5 million a year on advocacy, or we should be spending $5 million a year on advocacy? And at every Bikes Belong board meeting, and I've been on that board for a while, I always end every meeting by asking everybody there if we can double the dues. Every single meeting, four times a year, like clockwork, can we double the dues? And I've succeeded once in doubling the dues, and every meeting I'll continue to ask to double the dues. But one of the roles I see that I have as an advocate is to get the industry to open up their wallet more so we can support great programs. I mean, whether you're talking about bicycle-friendly communities, whether you're talking about IMBA, and those guys are amazing. The work that Tim Blumenthal and the group at Bikes Belong have done, there's a lot of things that can happen here, and that's the key. Is we've made so much progress, but we have a long way to go. And just take responsibility for your home markets. Chris Fortune today talked about what he's doing in Madison. There's a great quote I wanted to pull out and put it on here, and I never did. And it's something about the only people who change the world is a small group of wackos. And it's much more elegant than that. But if people are sitting around and waiting for somebody else to change the world, it's probably not going to happen. When you take a look at what one person has been able to do, in a lot of cases, one person's done a lot. Look at what Deb Hubsmith has done. Look at what Congressman Oberstar has done. Look at what Earl Blumenauer has done. And there's so many of these same stories on the local level, what people have done in different cities. Look at what the mayor of Louisville's done. There are so many great stories, and everybody in here can have that same kind of an impact. You don't have to be an elected official to get that stuff done. And there's so many great stories. I think that's my end. All right. I don't have a big wind-up here. My only wind-up here is just to get involved. We got so many great things going on. Now's the time to do it. We're going to be here in 2 or 3 years, and we're going to be going back to Congress, and we're going to be talking about reauthorizing the transportation budget, and we're not going to ask for $800 million. Maybe we'll ask for $1 billion or $2 billion. And there are going to be other people who are going to say those guys should get zero. And we really need to get out there and take advantage of what's been given to us and maximize it. And just a lot of great things going on. And with that, I will end. And if anybody has any questions, I'd love to answer them. Or should I just end?
Thank you, John. Thank you very much, John. I was one of the three people bugging you at that Anaheim trade show for the money. And when John stood up and said, if you can get $100,000 from the other manufacturers, we'll match it, we were terrified, scared to death, and spent 3 days running around the trade show floor trying to meet that match and made it. And your leadership has been really inspirational. So thank you very much, John, for doing that.
And that was John Burke, the president of Trek Bicycles. And I want to thank John for giving me the permission to air his speech in its entirety here on the Fredcast. And thank everyone from the League of American Bicyclists and Bikes Belong and everyone that was associated with the National Bike Summit. For those of you who are interested in cycling advocacy, I would strongly encourage you to check out the League of American Bicyclists at www.bikeleague.org. and to consider attending next year's annual National Bike Summit in Washington, D.C., or the Bike Summit in your local area. We'll be back with another regularly scheduled Fredcast soon. I do have some more audio from the National Bike Summit, which I will be putting into the Fredcast here and there. Thanks also to Cambria Bicycle Outfitter for sponsoring the Fredcast. You can find out more information on Cambria Bike as well as the special offer this month available just for Fredcast listeners by going to www.thefredcast.com and clicking on the CBO link on the left-hand side of the page. Until our next show, if you'd like to send me an email with comments about this or any other show, please do so. It's thefredcast@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening to the Fredcast. And we will see you next time. Until then, enjoy the ride.